Let's sing number 34, Only to Be What He Wants Me to Be. I think we sang that last night. Praise God.
Only to be what He wants me to be.
That God has stirred in our hearts while we're here at Pilgrim Camp. It always is. You always leave wanting to be more of what He wants you to be. Not here at camp only, not in church on Sunday, but every moment of every day. That's the Christian life. It's a life. It's a life. And it's Jesus in our hearts, shining forth every moment of every day. And if God has put that desire in us, let's cherish it, let's nurture it. And let's believe God that God will fulfill it. Praise God. Last verse.
Living for Jesus, surrendered and true, every moment of every day. Walking with only His pleasure in view, every step of His pilgrim way. Just see.
Melody that our little sister singing for us. Try to stick with the one we have in the book, okay?
Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing my
praise Him, praise Him, praise Him.
Oh, we do, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I give myself.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to have Brother Danny Schreck here. Danny, he's my brother-in-law. John Schreck had three children. I decided to marry Lily. And Danny's wife is Sarah. Many of you know her. And their older brother, Johnny. They're serving the Lord up in Poughkeepsie, at least for now. And it's a joy to serve God with them. Danny's our staff coordinator for this first period. And I don't know, did you want to say something, Danny? Do you have any... No? Okay.
To all our staff members, first period, thank you so much for being here, for giving your time, for making that sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to come and give your free time to the Lord's work, and I trust that God will reward you greatly for the work that you've done. It's always wonderful to see how God provides the staff members, you know, through the year, a little different, and sometimes. We wonder how all the spots fill in, but God is always so faithful as we look at Him. He meets the need and sends willing hearts. And so thankful that you guys have been here as the answer to our prayers along that line. And I trust the Lord will bless you richly. Thank you.
I thought you might want to do that. Okay. I just want to say something briefly to you. When I first came up, I said I'd like to look at the questions of Jesus in the Bible, because the staff devotional is geared that way. And when I found out that there were other devotions being considered for good reason, I didn't stick to that so closely. But I did touch upon a few of them, if you remember. And the first question that is recorded that Jesus ever asked in the Bible, what was that again? Oh, boy. I have to start over again. 12 years old, in the temple, what did he say? How is it that ye sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I'm sure he asked many questions growing up, past the salt, and where are my sneakers, or whatever they wore. But the first recorded question was, how is it that ye sought me? He said that to Joseph and Mary, who were troubled because they were looking everywhere for him for a few days. And every parent knows what that could be like. You ever in a department store, you don't see your child for 15 seconds and you're in a panic, right? He said, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? I have to be in my Father's house. It's also translated for us. And already at 12 years old, Jesus was coming into an understanding of his mission, of his relationship with his Father, and he was preparing himself for that great work that God had sent him into the world to do. Well, the last question that Jesus asked that we have recorded while he was here on earth is after his resurrection. It's found in John 21. And he poses the question to Peter. There are two good questions there. Peter, do you love me more than these? That's a question that's certainly worth meditating upon. But the last question also is very good. And it's in response to something Peter asked. Jesus, in John 21, was telling Peter that that one day Peter would lay down his life, quite literally, and die a martyr's death in his service for God. One day they're going to take you where you don't want to go. They're going to stretch out your arms and so on. And I imagine Peter understood that that had something to do with crucifixion. And that's not good news. That's not the type of thing you want to hear. Sometimes we ask ourselves the question, or the question was asked to me one time recently. Do you want to know the day or the moment of your death? Would you like to know that ahead of time?
Yeah.
And then the question is, would you like to know how you're going to die ahead of time? The answer to both of those is probably no. I'm not sure I want to know exactly when I'm going to die. That would kind of ruin my day when I woke up that morning, perhaps. And then how I'm going to die, well, I don't want to think about that so much. But we know that God's grace will be sufficient, and the Lord will walk through us through the valley of the shadow of death, and there's a glorious morning that will break immediately after. And so the fear of death doesn't plague us anymore. But here, Jesus was wanting Peter to understand that, Peter, although you had failed me and your love for me was really insufficient, you failed me miserably. You fell on your face. You denied me three times. Yet, I'm going to do something in your life. I'm sure Jesus was looking forward to the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when he would indwell Peter in a way that Peter had never, couldn't even imagine. And you're going to be able to love me more than your own self. You're going to be able to lay down your life rather than deny me. And that must have really meant something to Peter, because he found out that his own love didn't go far enough. But God was going to put a love in his heart that was going to make him to love Jesus more than he loved his own self and his own life. And so then Peter asked the question. It seems as though he was walking with Jesus and talking. Then Peter, turning about in verse 20, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be the Apostle John, which also leaned on his breast at supper. And so Peter, turning about and seeing the Apostle John, he says to Jesus in verse 21, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" What's going to happen to John? Okay, tell me what's going to happen to me. What's going to happen to John? And Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." If I choose for John to stay alive until I return, what business is that of yours? How is that going to affect my call over your life? You just follow me. You make sure that you follow the path that I have chosen for you. And for John, I've chosen a different path. And for the other disciples as well. You know, we're not going to all end up the same in the sense that God has the same plan over each of our lives. God has a different plan over every one of us. It's all to glorify his name. It's all to serve the Lord with all our hearts. But God's going to have a different call over every one of our lives. I look at these young people here. I think, if the Lord should tarry 10 years from now, where are they going to be? Where's God going to place them? How are they going to be serving him? Maybe some may be in what we call full-time ministry, meaning, you know, that they're a pastor or a missionary or something like that. Others will be serving God in other places. God will give them families, and they'll raise their children for the Lord. I'm sure they'll be filling places here at Pilgrim Camp. Write that down. And get a calendar 10 years from now, and right in the summer. Busy. Have to go to Pilgrim Camp. God will have a different call. We remember Peter, the Apostle James, John's brother. He was beheaded, arrested by Herod, and Herod killed him with the sword. Beheaded, I don't know, but killed with the sword. And then Peter's arrested, and they expect the same thing's going to happen to him. And in answer to prayer, the Lord sends an angel into the prison cell, and Peter walks out scot-free. Now, why did God let James be killed with the sword and Peter be freed? Well, because God has a different call over all of our lives, and we all have different ways to glorify him. And so we need to understand that. As you grow up, God's going to lead your friend this way, and he's going to do that with their life, and he's going to lead another friend this way, And this one may be able to buy a beautiful house and live with a big built-in swimming pool in their backyard. And God may lead you to live in a tent somewhere. And the Bible says, you know, it's not good to compare ourselves with one another. In the book of Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians, it tells us there, it's not good for us to compare ourselves with one another. Particularly in the sense, well, I'm doing better than him. I do this, but I don't do that. And we're always looking to feel good about ourselves if we can find someone that's doing worse than us. But that's the problem, is we're looking at the wrong person. You may think you're doing good, and you may think you're doing better than him or better than her. Thank you. But God may not be pleased with either of you. You know, Jesus is our standard. His word is what we compare ourselves to and live by and want to measure up to. And so we don't compare ourselves to each other like that either. And then the last thing I wanted to say, and I'm finishing up because I got signaled that it's 9 o'clock. And
kids are in the bus.
The more I talk about it, the less time I have. So, in the Old Testament, when David went to fight Goliath, they tried to force him into King Saul's armor, and it didn't work. You know, he walked around this armor. He took two steps, the armor moved one. He said, "I can't use this." But David, that's how you kill giants. You need armor, you need a shield, you need a sword. That's how we've always killed giants. That's how it's done. And David said, "But I can't do that way. But I know how to use a sling, and I know how to throw a stone." And David let God use him the way God had prepared him to be used. When I came to Ridgewood, I didn't play my guitar much because everyone was playing trumpets and clarinets and violins. So I took out my clarinet, dusted it off. Brother Edwin called it my agony pipe. I don't think that was a compliment. And so I laid the guitar aside for a while. I used it in youth group. But that was what I was comfortable with. And now, serving in Canarsie, I can play the guitar all I want. And I love to play the guitar. And I pray, Brother Gordon told me, when you play, you should believe God to anoint your playing. And I'm doing that by God's grace, trusting him to do that. But, you know, we can't be the same. We can't try to be like someone else. We can't, you know, imitate. God's not going to anoint and bless an imitator. He's going to anoint and bless you as you give yourself, just as you are, to the Lord. God wasn't making mistakes when he was preparing you and training you and developing you. He didn't develop me like he developed Brother Eddie. He didn't develop Brother Eddie like he developed Keith Schneider. We all have different backgrounds. The things that we went through, the things that God brought into our lives, are all significant. And God knew what he was doing. He was getting us ready for a ministry, and he didn't want us to be the same. He wanted us to be ourselves and different. And some are more different than others, for sure, but different. Okay, so that's my little talk this morning, okay? Be yourself in the Lord. Don't be like your brother. Don't be like your sister. You seek God the way God leads you to seek him. Don't compare yourself with others. Look to Jesus to make you all that he wants you to be. And when God begins to lead in different directions, just say, "Lord, help me to be sure to follow you with all my heart." Praise God. Let's sing, "Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow him." Then we'll pray in dismissal.
Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus.
Thank you for these days at camp. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have spoken to us, all that you have ministered in our hearts. Thank you for correction. Thank you for conviction, Thank you, Lord, for light shining into our darkness and giving us the clearest sight of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to take that home with us. Guard that for us, Lord. Help us to nurture your good work in our lives. And Lord, as we began this gathering tonight, this morning, we say again, Lord, oh God, strengthen that cry in our hearts when we go back home, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. Help us to live that way, Lord. We know that we can by your grace, and you're for us. And so we're expecting to see great things taking place in our lives back home. Cover us with your blood, the bus, the children, those traveling up in these days. Strengthen the workers. Lord, we commit everything and everyone to you. And thank you for your exceeding goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.